Our scripture today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. As we come to God's word, let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord. Screaming, loud screaming, coming from the girls upstairs. I might have called it singing, but not quite. I was downstairs making dinner. I wondered if they had the microphone from the karaoke machine, but no, it was just their raw voices. The twins had seen Wicked the night before, and they were upstairs with their friend Kiki, scream singing, defying gravity. Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel had nothing on these 10-year-olds. And the next morning, those little ones had nothing left but gravelly, hoarse voices. It's the third Sunday of Advent. The manger is coming into view. Just 9 more sleeps until the angels take their positions. The pink candle glows on the wreath. The mood is set. But there is screaming, loud screaming from the Bible. The theme is supposed to be joy, but it seems the lectionary did not understand the assignment. Jesus' cousin John, a wilderness weirdo, shows up near the Jordan, scream preaching. You brood of vipers is quite the opening line for a sermon. No microphone needed. John carries on about swinging axes and wrath and fire. He preaches repentance, and he does it loudly. John stays on brand in every one of the four Gospels. Before Mark's Gospel even gets to its fifth sentence, John is proclaiming a baptism of repentance. Matthew records John's one-sentence sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." And in the fourth Gospel, John speaks of himself as the one crying out, "Straighten up." There's no weaseling out of this message. But I wonder how many of us, when we hear repent, if we see the pit preacher, or conjure an image of people with no love in their eyes holding signs painted in red that say, "Repent or else, repent or die." Yikes. But church, out of our holy desire to not be like them, let us not relinquish repentance forever. For repentance is the belief that this weary world can go in a different direction. It promises that tomorrow can be a new day. Repentance says that we are not bound by the brokenness of yesterday. It means things can turn around. And I see you in the pews, and also in your jobs, at your schools, in your families. This is what you pray for, what you work for, what you yearn for the world to straighten up, for rough places to be made smooth, for mountainous obstacles to be brought low. It seems to me, church, that you want repentance. It's just that you don't call it that. In fact, when we do call it that, you literally cock your heads to the side and turn up your noses. Let me explain. Last year near Epiphany, we passed out star words, centering words to help guide your year. Hadley lovingly prepared them. She ordered the colorful paper. She printed out a list of words and gave them to the office volunteers to scribe onto the stars. There were a few words that she scratched off the list, as they weren't in English or they just were a bit more obscure. But she missed a word. She didn't scratch off the word metanoia from the list. Metanoia is the Greek word for repentance. So when the time came, you filed to the front of the sanctuary to receive your word, courage, clarity, healing, discernment. And I could see your faces brighten. I could see you sigh contentedly in conjunction with the Spirit who was catching your attention. But the few of you who got metanoia stars, like I said, you cocked your heads and you scrunched your noses, confused, dejected. So let me redeem your star for you. Metanoia is a great word. It's based on the word nous, which means mind, and has an attached prefix, meta, which means after. After mind. Perhaps we might better render it as second thought. To repent is to have a second thought. And doesn't the world need that? We can rush to fix a feeling or speak a platitude. But on second thought, what if we just tried to sit down with our loved ones when they were in pain? We can zone in on the bottom line, on the benefit of growth. But on second thought, what if we consider the impact on people, real ones, Grades come in, end of work year reviews, or end of year work reviews, or college applications. And we tell ourselves that all of that determines our worth. But on second thought, how about we remember our baptismal identity? The news story comes in and it seems so outrageous that we cannot help but belittle those fools on the other side. But on second thought, what if we acknowledge the complexity of stories, the nuances in values, and the truth that God does not make any of us simple? We'll go to throw something away, and on second thought, realize we can compost this. You know, come to think of it, maybe all the star words this year should be metanoia. A second thought about that first choice. A second thought about that particular assumption. A second thought about that instinctive reaction. A second thought about a well-worn pattern. Yes, repentance is the gift that this weary world needs. I know I do. And this has got to be why the crowds react the way they do to John. Did you notice that? He gets up there with his scream sermon, talking about bearing fruits worthy of repentance. And the people don't get mad. They don't take their pledges and leave worship with a big scene. They don't ask him to lower his voice. They just ask, okay, what should we do? They're in on this kind of life and ask, show us how to do it. They have confidence in this promise of God, and they want to know, how can we put our faith in action? To the general public, John says that if you have two coats, give one away to someone who's cold. And if you have plenty of food, set the table for someone who's hungry. That's it, they say? Share? Yes, John says, share. To the tax collectors, John says, collect the tax that's owed, but don't cheat anyone. That's it? Be fair? Yes, be fair. To the soldiers, John says, don't use your power for your own benefit. Don't be a bully? Right. No bullying, especially against the vulnerable. Share. Be fair. Don't bully. That is the playbook for the turned around right way of the Lord. Share. Be fair. Don't bully. It's all I really need to know. I learned in kindergarten, Kingdom of God edition. His way is love, and his gospel is peace. And church, that way is made up of small moves that anyone, everyone can do. All who believe that things can change. Repentance is possible. A new day is coming. This Thanksgiving weekend at RDU, I had the distinct pleasure of hearing my name called over the all-airport intercom. I think my children melted into the floor in embarrassment, but I was elated because it meant that someone had found my iPhone that I left in the bathroom by the gate. So as I was walking the length of the terminal to retrieve my phone, I remembered a poem about another airport intercom moment. Naomi Nye speaks of wandering around Albuquerque Airport, hearing an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, Naomi writes, one pauses these days. But I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. I stooped to put my arm around the woman and I spoke to her haltingly. The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for a major medical treatment the next day. I said, "You're fine. You'll get there. Who's picking you up? Let's call him." She talked to him. And then we called her other sons, just for fun. Then we called my dad, and she spoke for a while in Arabic to him and found out that, of course, they had 10 common friends. She was laughing a lot. Next, she pulled a sack of homemade mamoul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag. And she shared, offered them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, they were all covered with the same powdered sugar. There is no better cookie. The airline broke out the free beverages from the huge coolers, and two little girls from our flight ran around serving us all apple juice, and they were covered in powdered sugar too. And I looked around at that gate of late and weary travelers, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in. Well, you know what, church? We can. It's possible. And this is why John is screaming. Just like the 10-year-olds upstairs singing at the tip top of their lungs, John is not screaming in anger. He's not screaming in despair. He's screaming in joy that every valley shall be filled and every mountain made low, every crooked path made straight, every rough way smooth. He's screaming in joy because salvation is coming. And he's screaming for us who think that might be impossible, to take a second thought, repent, and join in.